curiosity, you know, like, ooh, something shiny. Oh, what's that over there, you know? Did I see something move off in the forest? Something like that. But at times we all lose focus and need to be redirected to where our focus needs to be and redirected to where our help comes from. And Psalms 121 verses 1 and 2 says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It's a powerful statement, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I'm glad that we can turn to God in anything, through anything, and in spite of anything. Amen. I have one more scripture before we're seated. And please bear with me, there'll be a lot of reading tonight, but I find that the Word of God speaks better than anything I could say. John chapter 1 and verse 1, very familiar verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. You may be seated. It all starts with God. God and His Word are inseparable. Scripture tells us that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. He doesn't change. We change. I'm thankful for that. But God never changes. Situations can change on us pretty quick, but God doesn't change. The one constant thing that we can rely on in our life is God. Before there ever was Genesis 1:1, there was God. Before we came into existence, He saw this day when we'll be here together. He knows how we got here, what is on our minds, or for some of us, where our minds are. And He has a plan for each of us that is greater than anything that we could dream up. We were always told in Bible school that God's plan is so much greater than anything that we could come up with. Yes. We can design our life just right. We can design it, go to the right school, the right college, get the best grades, marry the right person. All this kind of things, we can design it right down to a T. But as it turns out, God has a plan that is much bigger than our own. Much better for us than our own. Many are familiar with the scripture found in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, if someone says they have a plan already, you know, they have a plan for the day going for us, to give us an expected end, I'm going to wonder what that expected end is. Especially if it's Brother Rick. He's gotten me a few times pretty good. But this is God speaking. It starts with His thoughts, His ways, His end. So many philosophers and people with brilliant minds have come up with dozens and hundreds of ideas on what lies beyond this present world. But yet really, where does all that theorizing leave us? It may take more faith to believe in nothing at all, or even anything other than God. Those, some of those things that people come up with, you really have to think about and wonder where they got it. Because it doesn't always make sense. There's a man that I would like to tell you about. Many here know him as the Apostle Paul, but Paul wasn't always Paul. You know, he had a different life. He had his own plan, his own thing going. But before he became this great man of God, he was a man that lived to pursue and persecute anyone that believed in Christ. If you believed in God, if you believed in Jesus was the Son of God, He was the Christ, He was out to get you. He was basically almost the early church boogeyman. You know, He was come to get you, didn't know what was going on. He would come and grab people and persecute them. But we'll read from Acts chapter 26 what Paul has to say when he came before King Agrippa when the Jews were trying to have him killed for preaching Christ. See, Paul had gone through some things at that time, but he still brings us back to where he began. He explains that he was a Jew living according to the doctrine of the Pharisees and seeking to kill anyone who followed Christ. He gives his backstory, essentially. This is his testimony. Acts 26, verse 11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to strange cities. See, Paul was what he considered to be a zealot. He was, the term goes, gung-ho. He was gung-ho for God, but he was doing it the wrong way. In verse 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. This wasn't just happening to Paul. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Interesting that he called him Lord. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So you have Paul, or Saul, at this point in time, that he changes to Paul. Someone that was a champion for those that were against the Christians. And instead, he becomes a champion for God. What he was desiring to be all along is what he became. Just a different way. Completely changed who he was. A complete turn from who he was to whom God called him to be. What we have in our mind for our life isn't always what God has in mind for us. See, God's ways are so much better than our ways. And it all starts with him. But yet the most powerful thing the smart lawyer Paul could tell this king who could command him to be killed was his testimony. His testimony, what God had done for him. How God changed his life. His testimony of what God had done. See, our testimony is so powerful. No one can deny what we have seen and experienced. Nobody can tell you what God has done for you. You know what God has done for you. There's no changing that. People can try and say, oh no, God doesn't do that. Well, God did that for me. God doesn't heal like that anymore. That's only an Acts kind of thing. Well, God did it for me. God doesn't fill with the Holy Ghost. People don't speak in tongues anymore. Well, God did that for me. He did that for me. See, the devil may try to discredit and make us forget what has happened. Now, I don't have the best memory at all. But I can still remember times when God met me at my point of need. Devil may try and discredit and make us forget what has happened, but he hates it when we know in whom we believe. When we remember what God has done for us, and we are not afraid to tell it like it is, with humility, and point out who is truly all-powerful. He doesn't like that at all. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in prayer. Even here today, we have many witnesses of what God has done. We have people that can tell you that God is still a healer because he has healed them. God has provided, healed, and delivered just as he always has. He never changes. He does not change. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Two words sometimes we're not always so delighted to hear. Run and patience. But it says, let us lay aside every weight. Run with patience. Psalms 23 says it so well. I like this psalm. It's helped me through many a time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Doesn't that sound amazing? Peaceful. There's nothing quite like going out on the river when it's all calm. Beautiful day out. Rivers are good. Sometimes you can see a fish jump. It's peaceful. But then comes along verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, without the valley of the shadow of death, we wouldn't know the goodness of God. If we wouldn't be in pain, we wouldn't know the relief of not having any pain. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, it all starts with him. His goodness. His love for us. See, the dark valleys in our life are never permanent. Verse 4 says, we walk through the valley. I like that. We're going through some things, but we don't stay there. God doesn't leave us there. We walk through the valley, not stopping there. Yet it starts with God. That path is narrow, but it is straight. He keeps us. It is there for us, yet it is up to us to submit to him. That's another word that's not so easy to follow after. Submission. But when it is to God, it is the best thing we can do. You know, in wrestling, you try to get to that point when there is a submission. There is a point where you just can't go any farther. That's it. When we submit to God, it is the best thing that we can do. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When we submit to God, we can come to that point. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It doesn't matter what the bills say. It doesn't matter what the hospital says. The doctors say, God is my helper. He is the Lord of my life. And there is none like him. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. There is power in being in relationship with God, right relationship with God. There's so many things that he can take us through if we just let him. So many times we try to design it our own way. I know I do. I try to figure my way out of it, think about it. But really, I'm not the one that's really in control. God is. When we're submitted to him, he can step in and take on our worst fears, our biggest issues and struggles. There is great blessing that comes with being his child. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. And I'm almost done. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes the best thing that God can give us is rest. Sometimes the thing that we need most is rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's one thing about having rest for the body, but another for having rest for the soul. There's a huge difference. But our God, He is so able to provide for all of our needs. He is God over our doubts. He is God in control of our situations. And His power is able to make it all come together when we can't see a way out. When we don't have an explanation for the situation, He is still God. He is still in control. We said earlier that there is a great cloud of witnesses here in this place. Not just in Scripture. Not just things that have been gone down in history, but that are continuing on. God is still our Savior. He is still our God. One more scripture says it so simply. First John 4, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. See, it started with Him. Started with His love for us. And yet the question remains, will we reflect and return that love? So there is a certain measure of responsibility that is left up to us. We're the ones that need to receive, replicate, and follow after God's love. Will we be changed or remain the same? It is our choice. Paul tells us in Philippians 3, verse 14, in closing, that He presses for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There's a pressing there. There's a high calling, a calling that God gives each and every single one of us. Each person's calling may not be exactly the same. God knows each one of us. He is God that is well able to tailor everything to our needs, to who we are. See, God took Paul just as he was. And reshaped him, made him His kind of warrior. But yet the question we must ask ourselves is, will we press for what God has for us? Will we press for that new level that Pastor has spoken to us about? Will we press for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus? He started this relationship. But it is our choice to continue on, to press on in Jesus' name.